Now, Kyle, we got this question from Kiri for you.
How do certain prefrontal cognitive functions go offline in times of intense anger, fear, or distress? And can having ready access to deadly weapons when these functions are impaired be a factor in high rates of gun violence?
So I guess what she's saying is, can people dissociate themselves from reality when they've got a gun in their hand, when they know they're going to do something evil with it?
One of the things that she's tapping into, which is very important, is that we aren't always cognitively in control. So the prefrontal cortex is the part of the brain that does our really conscious, careful, deliberate thinking. And one of the focuses for a lot of decision making when it comes to crime has been on this. How do people think about the cost and the benefits of their crimes, and how does that weigh into whether they decide to do it or not? So we have a focus on prevention, like deterrence, trying to see people, show people that there are bigger costs to their behaviors. But we're finding that's not working. And one of the reasons that I think that is the case is because the prefrontal cortex is often not in control. But another aspect of decision making, which is what is being tapped into in this question, is the more emotive or affective control. And these are more primitive, more automatic processes in the brain. And there's actually parts of the brain that decide whether they pull in this cognitive prefrontal aspect or not. And in a case when someone's under extreme fear, under extreme stress, the brain doesn't have the time, the effort to bring in those processes. So instead, it relies on more automatic behaviors, habits, instincts in some cases. And so that is what's happening when people are really afraid. And if you have a gun to hand, then it is possible that that could lead to a quicker response that involves the gun. However, there's a lot going on here. People have to see having that gun and using it as an option for action. And many people just automatically won't. So automatically, in that moment of fear, they won't reach for the gun. Many people won't even have the gun with them in the first place. But having the gun present does suggest that the person thinks that they might use the gun in some situations. And so therefore, if it is there, then that's a possibility that's going to relate to the violent behavior.
So would that stand up as a defense in court, do you think? My brain screened out all of my other thought processes and I thought I was in danger, so I just shot the person.
This is a big current issue in neuro law, actually. It's something that's of real interest and we haven't been able to deal with it. And one of the reasons is because neurologists, criminologists, and lawyers aren't speaking the same language. So that's just an issue that we need to address. And obviously, it's an important one. I think at the moment, our understanding is that there is an element of control and ability that is there. You could have people in the same situation who wouldn't make the same choice. And so until we can see that you absolutely would have no choice, then I think the law will stay as it is. But it's certainly a discussion that is being had and needs to be had.
Carl, thank you very much.